Hi everyone, this is Tracy Malone from NarcissistAbuseSupport.com. I am here with a special guest today. My friend Karen Covey is going to talk to us about the decisions that we need to make in divorce and a process that she teaches her clients. Karen was a divorce attorney. She is now a divorce coach. So she's got so much information. But when we are going through a divorce with a narcissist, we are faced with so many decisions. And often we are thrust into divorce, whether it's our decision, their decision, or just there's so many things that are going to happen that you have to make a decision on. So she's going to teach us exactly what we need to do and a process to actually make smarter decisions. We're going to talk about people that we have and clients that have been through five lawyers, and they're reactive and they're making this decision based on what they want, not what they can have and what they can get legally. And therefore they lawyer hop and they make decisions and go, well, can you get me what I want? Last guy said they could, but then they didn't. And five people said I couldn't, but can you? That's not going to work so well for you. So let's talk to Karen about the process of better decision-making and how we get to this point by slowing down the process and following her magical steps. So let's go meet Karen, and she'll give us all the information that we need to make smarter decisions. And that means a little bit slower and a little bit more thinking of the pluses and the minuses. Let's go meet her and we will have a great conversation, and I'll see you on the other side. Hi, Karen. I'm so excited to see you again.
I am so excited to be back. Thank you so much, Tracy, for having me.
You are welcome. It is always a pleasure because you are a wealth of information. And today we are going to talk about decision making. Because if someone is going to be going through a divorce, whether it's their idea or someone else's, there's a lot of decisions. And I know that you have been coaching people through the decision making process for this. So where should we start?
Let's start from the very beginning. Let's start from a way to look at divorce that most people don't talk about, or don't, like, they just don't look at it this way. And it's through the lens of decision making. Because here's the simple truth. When you're going through a divorce, you are going to have to make more important life-changing decisions in a relatively short and confined period of time than you will in any other similar time frame in your entire life. And so understanding how to make those decisions is critically important, because if you don't have a framework, if you're just making decisions randomly, you're going to end up wherever you end up. And that's probably not going to be the place that you want to end up, right? So what I coach my clients through is an actual step-by-step process for making decisions that will get them, not only the more you make, it's like anything else, it's like a muscle, the more decisions you make using the framework, the easier it becomes, the faster you can do it, and the more accurately you can do it. So it starts with understanding how to make decisions. And that's something that, like, no one teaches us ever.
Nope, not me.
So that's where I start with people, is starting with a framework for making decisions. And before we get into the framework, the next question, you know, the first question I have for people, and it sounds so simple, but it's, what do you want? Right? You're like, well, I don't want to be in this situation. I don't want to get a divorce, or I don't want to have to give him this or her that, or what, like, it's all the things, right? When you're deciding what you want, though, it can't be this big amorphous, well, I just want what's fair, or I just want to win, or I just don't want my spouse to win, or my ex to win, or whatever. That's like, what does that mean? It could mean anything, right? So you start by deciding what you want and making a goal, because if you understand what you're shooting for, you have a way better chance of actually hitting the target than you do if you're all over the place. So you start first in any situation by identifying, what is it that I want? What's my end goal, right? And in the situation of divorce, it could be, well, I want to get a divorce in the shortest amount of time, or with the least amount of conflict, or I need this amount of financial stuff, or I want this for my kids, whatever it is, you know, you have to decide what it is you want. The tricky part is you can't want everything, right? You can't have a, because you're, if you're shooting in 100 different directions, again, not going to hit the target. So it starts by identifying your goal. And then once you know what you're shooting at, then you start applying this framework to the decision-making process for whatever decision you're faced with, right? So do you want to know what the framework is?
I would love to know what the framework is.
Okay. So I call it my IRAPA framework. And in full disclosure, I did not create this. It started with a framework that I got from two university professors, Chip and Dan Heath. They wrote about it in a book called Decisive, and they studied military professionals, politicians, big corporations, all kinds of, they studied decision-making in all kinds of contexts to find out, was there a way to make decisions that led to better results and was there not? And what they found interestingly is, you know, the old list of pros and cons, which is the framework most people use. Yeah, that doesn't work. That usually leaves you more confused than when you started, because, like, I don't know about you, but this is how I make my pros and cons, right? You make your little T chart, you say, okay, this is all the reasons that I should do this. This is all the reasons that I shouldn't. And your shoulds outweigh your shouldn'ts like 3-1, right? So if you're a rational person, you're going, clearly I shouldn't do this, right? But then you look at the shouldn'ts and you go, yeah, but those answers are just so much more important. And so you end up still stuck because you still can't figure out, you know, it's not just a, this one has more yeses or more nos. It's, you know, how do you weigh those yeses and nos? So the framework that the Heath brothers came up with was called the RAP process. I looked at it and I said, okay, applying this to personal decisions, it needs a little bit more, with all due respect to them. So we start out with IRAPA. The I stands for information. You have got to understand what it is you're dealing with, right? You've got to get information about whatever the question is, whether it's getting, let's start with, do I get a divorce? Okay, well, what would getting a divorce look like? What would staying married look like? What are, you know, what is the information that you need to make that decision? And the same thing's going to apply when you decide what divorce process to use, what divorce lawyer to hire, what, you know, all these are really big, major decisions that you're going to face, and you're going to face more of them as you go down the road of divorce. How does it work? What do you need to know? What's out there? That's step one. After getting the information, that you get to the W. And the first W stands for widen your options, right? Because if you look at any decision as a yes or a no, it's easy to get stuck because that's not called a decision, that's a dilemma. It's either yes or no. Mm-hmm. So if you want a real decision, you have to think out of the box, widen your options. And at this stage, you're not going to censor yourself. You're not going, oh, that's stupid. You know, no, just brainstorm. Get as many different options as you can. And I promise you, there's always more than two ways to do anything, right? So you widen your options. Then the next step, that's when you reality test your options, right? Because some of the things you thought of are probably going to be really not practical. Like, that's not going to work. And, you know, I can't go interview 500 lawyers, right, to find the one that's right for me. Not practical. Okay. So you start to reality test the options. And when you do that, there's going to be a couple you just go, yeah, that won't work, or that won't work, right? But you start to, you know, you end up then with a couple, and maybe some that if you hadn't gone through this exercise, you wouldn't necessarily have thought of, right? So you reality test your options. And then the step A is to attain some distance. Because when we're in the middle of everything, you can't see the forest for the trees, right? So how do you do that in the context of divorce, right? Well, to attain some distance, you might say, okay, if I was my best friend and I was advising her what to do, what would I say? And maybe a way to attain some distance is to ask an expert, okay, if I did decide this way, what's the likely outcome? Are there things that I'm not thinking about, other factors? Because in divorce, I can't remember who it was, if it was Mark Twain that said, it's not what you know that's the problem, it's what you don't know that just ain't so, right? So it's like the devil you don't know is going to be the one that sticks you in the butt with a pitchfork. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get some distance and you say, is this likely, is this really as good as it looks like on paper? Then the next step is P, prepare to be wrong. This is a hard step. This is really important in terms of corporate decisions or government decisions or what have you. It's a little harder to do in the context of a personal relationship. But what you do in preparing to be wrong is say, okay, if I decide this thing this way and I'm wrong or things don't work out, what can I do to get as close to back to square one as I could, mm-hmm. right? So how can I pull back and say, okay, that didn't work out so well, let's regroup, right? So, you know, obviously if the decision is to divorce or not, it's a little tough because you can't unsay, I want a divorce. But what else would you do? Would you say, okay, maybe this, we need to put a hold on this, let's go to therapy, let's do whatever, or let's take a different decision. You're trying to decide what lawyer to go with. Now, in a perfect world, you hit it right out of the gate and you pick a really good lawyer and things go well. But let's say that doesn't happen, because it often doesn't happen, right? So you've got a lawyer, you don't feel they have your back, they're not doing anything for you. Okay, great. How do you, if you prepare to be wrong, do you have that backup person? Like maybe you interviewed 3 or 4 lawyers, you were deciding between 2, you picked 1, it didn't work out so well. Can you go back to the second one, or did you burn your bridge, right? So it's about doing things like not burning your bridges so that you can backpedal if you absolutely needed to. So that's the first P. The next P, super important, plan, right? You make a decision, that's great. How are you going to implement it? What's the plan? Mm-hmm. And you can't just say, okay, I decided X and okay. No. How are you going to do X? There has to be a plan. What did they say? Failing to plan is planning to fail. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to have a plan. And then the last A stands for action, because you can have the best decision on the planet, but if you don't do anything about it, it really wasn't a decision. So when you're faced with, when all these things come at you in a divorce and you're faced with having to make these decisions, if you use a framework, and it doesn't have to be every single decision. Like if you use this framework to decide what you're going to have for dinner, you're going to be very hungry for a very long time. But for the big decisions, you need something, some way of evaluating, what do I want to do? And so that's the structure that will help.
Thank you. That was awesome. And it's very much, you know, what I teach in having any kind of conversations. You know, I want you to, you're going to go tell your ex you want a divorce. What will their reaction be? Plan for that. How could it go right? How could it go wrong? What will you do when they say this? How will you get to that point? Because we have so much fear around divorce. It's the unknown, and it's a breaking up of, you know, something that whether you want it or not, it's still trauma. It's still a thing that you have to get through this whole process. So knowing that you can plan for things so that you're not blindsided, right? Fear is the enemy. And if we have a plan, the fear can't exist if we know what we'll do. Again, they say this, we got a plan for that. They do this, we've got a plan for that. The more you can get into this decision-making process with the knowledge, like you said, what can go right, what can go wrong, and slowing down the process. I think when people hear the words, I want a divorce, bam, they're on the phone, they're not thinking. I mean, again, it's irrational because it is an irrational experience to have that laid on you if you were unaware of it. but it is still something that, you know, slowing it down, thinking through this and going, all right, like you said, let me get an expert here. Where, what should I do? Yeah. How do I plan my goal? Because most people come to me and they're like, well, I don't want them to have this and I don't want this to happen. And it's not, well, that's not your goal. That's the worst case scenario. Like we want to look back at looking at, again, what is it that you want? And if your goal is to have more money in the end, perhaps then we do everything from a lens of not wasting money, because five lawyers is a waste because you're paying them each time to restart and get caught up, right? So if that is the plan to have, you know, more money in the pod, everything from that lens becomes the decision, and making it with this smart way that you've just taught us really helps people not make bad mistakes. And you and I both know, we were talking about it before we got on, the clients with five lawyers, the clients that have, you know, been in mediation 15 times and nothing's happened. And so I'm not blaming the victim here. I am so blaming the narcissist in any of those situations, because they won't negotiate. So of course mediation won't work, but what are your goals? Okay, my goal is to not waste a lot of money. If that's your goal, then mediation is your option. And does that mean you have to negotiate a little bit differently? You still want what you want, but where do you end it? Because going back 45 times is not going to save you the money that was your original goal.
You know, and I just want to pop in and give a plug to you, Tracy, for the work that you do. Here's the thing that people need to hear. When you're emotional and your whole life is up in the air and you don't know what's, it is super, super hard to go through this framework and be all analytical and step outside of yourself and look from the outside. You can't do it by yourself. That's why having a coach, that's why having someone like you, a support group, a coach, somebody or some group of people who can help you do all this work and apply the framework and, you know, make better decisions and approach things with your head and your heart, because your heart's involved too, but not just go all emotion and make your decision. That's critical. So if you're, you know, when people are listening to this, if they're like, I don't even know what that means. I don't know where to start. Yeah, of course not. Having a coach will help you actually use this so that you can make better decisions.
And someone like you or I who can explain to them what these decisions make. And again, the sort of, I want this. And well, the likelihood of you getting that is this, but here's what you can fight for. Here's how you can make workarounds. Here's how you can get more time or do this, or, you know, make sure that you have, you know, whatever you can build into it to get you to your point. Because again, lawyers charge lots of money. They don't have time to educate you on all the options. You tell them what you want, they fight for it, they make it happen, they make it into clauses and finalize it, right? They aren't going to sit there and go, well, you know, if you did that, then this could be the problem. And they just want to hear what you want. And that's why knowing what you want is so key. So making these decisions on your own, you'll make that, I want, you know, 100% custody, and I want all the money, and I want to stay in the house for 20 years, even though I have no way to pay for it, but that's what I want, right? And someone is going to ground you in reality going, it's good to want that, but the reality is this has to happen, and you have to qualify for a mortgage, and this, you know, there's so many parts of it that they aren't hearing. And that's why, again, the decision is impulsive at that point. It's not based on what you can and really can't have. So when they have people that guide them, these decisions and the process work so much better.
100%. And here's the thing, you know, it's that reality testing piece is a very important part. And you're right. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth of our situation. Like the law says, you know, he's entitled to 50% of the equity in the house and you can't afford to buy him out. So why can't you just have the house, right? You want to believe, you want what you want, but if what you want doesn't align with what's possible, given the system, given the, and we're not, I want everybody to hear, we are not talking about what's fair or not fair. Fair is the four-letter F word of divorce, right? You're never going to get it. It's never going to, like, there's nothing fair about this entire process. So forget about fair and just say, under the law, what can I get? What can I do? What can't I do? And there are areas, there's a lot of gray areas where you may be able to get a little more or do something different or what have you. But listening to a lawyer about what is and isn't possible is key. I've had people come to me and say, well, I had three lawyers and they all told me that I can't get spousal support, but I want spousal support. So can you help me get it? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no. I'm really good, but I'm not a magician. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have that magic wand. So it's about understanding what is possible for you and then wrapping your head around that, because there's a world of possibilities in what is realistic for you, but you can't see those possibilities when you're too busy denying that you're limited by the reality that exists.
Absolutely. What you were just saying about the lawyers, and I've been through three and they said no, but can you do it for me, please? Can you please? You know, again, you're not grounded in reality there. And what you're doing is throwing a lot of money away, because now you've been through three lawyers. And I believe, if you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I believe if someone changes lawyers a lot, it doesn't look so good to the next one, right? Tell me about that from your perspective.
Oh, well, I have to tell you, like, when I was taking cases as a lawyer, when I was practicing law for decades, if someone came to me, and this is just like, this was my policy, but if someone came to me and they had already been through three lawyers, they couldn't pay me enough. I would not take the case. And I am not the only lawyer like that. I mean, maybe some lawyers say three, some two, some five, whatever it is. And then there are those lawyers who don't care how many you've been through. If you pay them enough money, they will take your money. I have to tell you, those are not necessarily the lawyers you want to hire. But after you've been through lawyer after lawyer after lawyer, those are the ones you're going to have to hire.
And again, they're not going to get you what you want, because the law is what the other three lawyers said. This is what our state, our country, this is what you can have and you can't have. We can't change the law. So if you get someone that, and I've had a lot of people that were promised by a lawyer, oh, sure, no problem, we'll fight like heck. They never do, but they took your money. And then they'll just be the fourth that you let go, because you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be back at square one with the reality of what is possible. And that's what's hard. Again, making that decision to wean off of your big dream, right? We all had that big dream, right? We all wanted to stay in the house and da 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 and all the different things, right? And there are creative ways. If there are assets, you've been married long enough, you keep the retirement, I can keep the house. There's different things, but if there's no thing, you can't make it come. It's not magic show. It's not where we can wish a wand and go, sure, keep the $1 million house. You don't have to pay for it. This is Disneyland. No, this is reality. This is divorce. This is mortgages. This is law. And so it is very hard for people to grasp when someone tells them no, and they tend to be the lawyer jumpers.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It's about what you're describing is what I and some of my colleagues call magical thinking, right? If I just want this bad enough, it'll happen. And like, maybe that works in Disneyland, I don't know, but it doesn't work in the real world. And the longer, and here's why it's important to understand this. It's not like I'm trying to be the bad guy or the tough lawyer or the whatever, but the longer you stay fixed on trying to accomplish something that cannot happen, the less time, money, and resources you have to spend on doing what you could have done. Because by the time you're done and you've beat your head against the wall till you're bloody trying to get something that can't happen, your options for what can happen keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So your reality, your situation, your result gets worse and worse and worse. You are far better off, as hard as it is, to suck it up and say, okay, three lawyers have told me I can't get this. I'm not going to go for this. I'm going to go for something that is within the realm of possibility, given the system, given my circumstances and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to focus on doing that and pick up the pieces to the best of my ability after the divorce. Because here's the thing, everybody makes the divorce the focal point of their life. For good reason, right? For a lot of people, it just becomes your whole life for a period of time. But if you can start to get your horizon out after that and say, I don't want to be in this mess the rest of my life. What do I want my life to look like after that? Okay, how can I cut my losses now? You know, maybe give up some things that you really wanted to get and just say, you know what? If I can put this behind me, I now have the ability and the resources to create again a life that I want, rather than getting stuck in this whirlwind, this whirling dervish of a drama that I never wanted.
Yeah. And narcissistic divorces, as you know, are over the top. They are, could be 5 years. I've had 7 year divorces, right? This is going on in millions of dollars when you're into that kind of, you know, lengthy thing. It's overwhelming, but grounding yourself in what's possible and making the right decisions from the right place. And the right place is, I've thought about what could go wrong. I've thought about what can go right. I know that this is possible. Oh, that's not possible. I'm not going to waste my energy on that. I think three lawyers that know their job telling me that is enough confirmation. I want it. Yes, of course, I want $1 million too, but it doesn't mean it comes, right? It means I work towards the goal. And again, sometimes in a narcissistic thing, freedom is part of the goal.
Yeah.
Peace. I want out. I don't want to be in a 7 year divorce. I want to get out as soon as possible. And if that is your goal and that is your thing, then you have to plan on compromising. Compromising sucks. Nobody wants to do it because you want what you want. But again, this is my hard down. This is the lowest I'll go. Having that clarity and going, if I make this decision, this is what it means. If I make that decision, here's what could happen. And you make it from that place, I think, as you said, people's divorces would be a lot smoother and they would make a whole lot less mistakes. Because in a narcissist divorce, it's reactive. They ask for a divorce, boom, we go, we just like, and then we're just gobbling it up. And then we're just like not getting there because we are reacting instead of being smart about it.
100%. And as you said, with narcissists, it is the drama that they live on. So when you're operating in reaction mode, you are actually feeding the beast, so to speak. And so to the extent you can step away and say, this isn't right, this isn't fair, but I'm not playing anymore. I will just give up X, whatever it is, you know, and get the peace, get the freedom. There is value to that. Now, there's also the one exception, which you and I know have talked about before, and that is when your kids are, if your kids are being abused, that's a whole different ballgame, right? But again, you've got to, the more your head can be in the game, the more you can deal with your emotions with a coach, with a therapist, with a group, support group, with whatever, and start thinking clearly, you know, you've got to get your child out of an abusive situation. But there's a difference between abusive and, yeah, I don't like the way my ex parents, or he's, you know, it's not healthy. There, he or she is putting guilt on my kid, or they're using my kid to fuel the drama. They're putting them in the middle. All of that sucks. But at some point, what you need to do is say, what's causing the most drama? And is there another way? It's again, it's the widening your options. How else can I handle this situation that keeps my child safe for sure? But, and maybe it's not perfect. Maybe my child doesn't have the perfect childhood, but we can end the drama, stop the bleeding, and they have a chance at having a childhood, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Those are the decisions.
This has been so helpful, Karen. I can't thank you enough. Is there something you want to like close with to tell people how they can find you as well?
Yeah, people can find me. I'm on all the socials at Karen Covey, but the best place to find me is my website. It's karencovey.com. It's karencovy.com. I have all kinds of resources there for people. There's everything that you could want, from programs to books to coaching to all of the things. And there's a lot, you know, for everybody, free stuff, videos, and paid stuff. So you can take your pick of the smorgasbord. And I guess what the one thing that I would love to leave with your listeners, it's just sort of a food for thought, right? It's when you're facing any kind of difficult situation, the key to getting through it is to know what really matters to you. What do you want? Not what you don't want. That's easier. What do you want? And when you can start to visualize and see clearly what you want, all of the decisions that come after that will be so much easier.
So much easier. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. It has been my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I hope you guys found that helpful. Our little discussion on decisions and how to do it the right way is going to lead you down the right path. You know, to have people who are on your side, who are guiding you, is important. But if you learn to make better decisions right from the get-go, you make a lot less bad ones. So follow the information down below if you want to learn more about Karen. She is an amazing person. She's also got a great podcast that we didn't talk about, but you can find that on all the different places that you get podcasts. So just put in Karen Covey and you will find her there. So this is Tracy Malone. Thank you so much for being here. If you are struggling with a divorce, I always forget to tell people, my book, Divorcing Your Narcissist, you can't make this shit up. I even have buttons. So if you're going through this, get it. It's an amazing resource. If you are aware, you can prepare. So don't forget that. And that comes with the decisions as well. We'll see you again next time. Thank you.